We will not take one of you and leave others, for this is against our principles of ethic. We do not like to separate families, so as I said before, all must be willing to come." Wiora continued, "I know many of you are afraid. I do not blame you. But let me assure you, the ships are safe and very reliable. As for the inhabitants of Calder, they are like you, flesh and blood, breathing air. The fundamental difference is that we on Calder and in the Confederation foster peaceful relations and goodwill to all creatures. The cement of our social structure is love, and it is inculcated from an early age. Trust us, we will not fail you." Some of the more imaginative members of the group overreacted and caused quite a stir in family circles by making plans for immediate departure. Then, a month later, on April 2, 1969, Edwin's radio receiver was activated unexpectedly at 10:35 p.m. The message was disturbing but not entirely unexpected. This time it was the Setonian's Igbo. "I have a preliminary report on the outcome of the tribunal which was held on Calder recently." Igbo then explained the decision to withdraw from the immediate vicinity of Earth. Then he continued, "Consequently, I am sorry to say that this will be my last official transmission. This Setonian patrol will leave for its new area beyond your moon. We leave with heavy hearts, for we have patrolled this area for many years now. We wish you well and success in your new space explorations. Soon you will have spacecraft to reach other planets in your solar system." Igbo said that Wiora would confirm the decision himself in the near future. He then closed his radio transmission with some personal remarks to Edwin and members of the Q group. "Note, there seems to be a pattern of relationships in development here, for, unknown to Edwin and the Q group members, and about the same time, in the 1960s, other contactee groups were being similarly prepared for evacuation in case of catastrophe. By the Amos in Spain, the Karens in Brazil, and others around the world." 2 days later, on Good Friday, a radio signal came through at 10:55 a.m. April 14, 1969. As promised, it was Wiora himself who said that he had attended the tribunal at the main communications building on his home planet, Calder, where the main events of the last 10 years concerning Earth were reviewed. Special attention was given to the recent 3-day aerial survey by the visiting team. This confirmed the existence of conflict, violence and bloodshed, industrial unrest, strife and social injustice, poverty and malnutrition of substantial scale. Much of the violence could not be described in detail to the members of the tribunal, as in the Confederation people are not familiar with violence. It is a concept entirely foreign to their nature. But the main purpose of the latest survey became clear when Wiora spoke. He said, "I am happy that our superiors find it unlikely that a nuclear conflict will break out at this stage on Earth. But who can tell what the future may bring?" He went on to say that in 1960, 9 years earlier, a similar aerial survey had disclosed that a tremendous buildup of atomic weapons was taking place in several countries on Earth. This caused much concern. He added that it was then decided that a special rescue fleet of spacecraft would be formed, and that 300 special spacecraft pilots were to be trained so that, in the event of an atomic war, their contacts could possibly be evacuated. In retrospect, Voldar's 2-year visit to Earth and the involvement of Edwin in subsequent events should be viewed with this in mind. Wiora continued, "At the present moment, there are about 3,000 people on Earth who are known to the Confederation. All have been in contact with the Confederation at one time or another. In the event of atomic war, the specially trained pilots, together with the assistance of the Q bases and groups, will respond immediately to evacuate these people. Recently I had mentioned the matter of evacuation again, as I feared that the outbreak of atomic war was imminent. Happily, this calamity does not appear likely at the moment. All the other members of the Confederation have agreed to divert craft from other operations to assist in evacuation if this becomes necessary." Wiora was obviously disappointed when he continued by saying, "Unfortunately, it has been decided that our patrol of the immediate vicinity of your planet must be withdrawn." This came as a great surprise to all of us in the fleet. We never imagined this would come so soon. As you know, Cetonian, Salamian and Cold Asian ships have been operating in the area between your planet and your moon. But now this will change and our patrols will be farther out. Confederation craft will only venture closer in case of emergency, or when special permission has been granted by Earth's superiors. Then, to reassure Edwin and his group, he said, although we are leaving the vicinity of Earth, it does not mean that we will break contact with you there at Q base. When possible we will transmit by radio as we have done before. The transmissions will not be as frequent as they have been in the past. We are disappointed. We have enjoyed telling you about us and sharing the information we have passed on to you. We hope this will continue. Iora said that he, personally, would be in charge of the patrol beyond the artificial satellite Melka located at the perimeter of our solar system. Volda would continue his operations in the system of Pyrol and was preparing for departure at that moment. He said that Volda and Clivine were happy together. I now come to the most difficult part of this transmission, Weora said. I must say farewell for now. I have traveled to many systems and scores of planets, but there is a sadness within me difficult to explain. Remember that although we part, and these transmissions will be less frequent, we shall continue our relationship. In thought, you will know that we have not forgotten you. I must give the order to remove all Cold Asian craft from the fields of your planet. He then gave the command in his own language, and then followed it, for Edwin's benefit, with an approximate translation, Kasalango Viziango Lasi Vichingo Weora. Lasakalamo Se Sala Ivu Slavanda Salakango Salandi Lasakakaloso Lavando Si. Kasengila Vandalius Zoon Si Weora. The translation is, this is Weora to the second Cold Asian fleet. I now command you to evacuate this area and leave for the new patrol areas assigned. I am Weora. With a final farewell, Weora ended the radio message. Edwin had hoped that his good friend Volda, whom he came to know so well in the early 60s, would add a few words to say goodbye. But nothing further came through the radio that morning. 3 days later, at 2 a.m. on April 27th, a steady call from the radio receiver woke Edwin and his wife Elizabeth. It was the Cold Asian 4th Patrol Division calling. Stand by for transmission, repeating this at intervals for some time. Surely that must be Volda. They got up and donned dressing gowns to settle down in their lounge and listen and record the broadcast coming through. My friends, we regret waking you at this hour. This is Volda. Greetings from the personnel of this craft and myself. We are en route to the system of Pyrol to carry out our next patrol duty tour. We may not have another opportunity of speaking to you, so forgive us for arousing you now. First of all, Clivine and myself would like to thank you and your members for your congratulations on our wedding day. It was much appreciated by both of us and we thank you for your gesture. Yes, I am now a man with a purpose in life. I have promised to share my life with someone who means more to me than anything else in the universe. Their home on Calder's, which is quite close to Weora's, overlooking an island. He spoke about the sunset walks along the shore of their inland sea. Volda said that his rest periods from patrol duties were spent in this idyllic setting, newlyweds in a cosmic heaven. But here I go again, said Volda, speaking about myself. I know how you must feel about the withdrawal and I confess that I realized for some time that this would come. There are an ever-increasing number of unmanned satellites in orbit around your planet, which have now become a hazard. Volda then reiterated that most of Earth's governments, political rulers and superiors, knew of the Cold Asian operations and the Confederation. He said they had known of the presence of Confederation craft over their countries and in the oceans for a very long time. The presence of extraterrestrial spacecraft in our seas sounds exotic and far-fetched, but we need only refer to the Philippe Erdo Cardenas case in Hialeah, Florida, or the David Del Mundo case in Puerto Rico, where the contactees were taken to underwater UFO bases in operation. In the Netherlands, Stefan Denard was taken underwater in a UFO for 8 hours. Where beings from another planet showed him transmitted images from their home system and discussed its life, society and technology with him in detail and compared it to ours. At the end of that meeting, the huge circular disc-shaped spacecraft surged from under the sea into the air and disappeared, ascending at a steep angle. Water is no more hostile an element than deep space, and should be equally navigable, and may be used for this purpose more than we know. It is a sobering thought that most of the population of this planet is not yet ready to accept life beyond Earth. Voldar added that our governments do not want people to accept this fact. The Confederation appreciates the need for such a policy because the acceptance of extraterrestrial life would have far-reaching effects for Earth. A gradual transition to this concept would be far better. What makes me sad, Voldar said, is the unnecessary bloodshed and warfare on Earth. I often think of the little children who are the innocent victims of all this violence. Infants without homes having to find refuge, food and water. Yet they have no idea why their parents are at war. There are areas of dire poverty. All these scenes and much more were recently recorded by the 3-day aerial survey. This too contributes to the Confederation's decision to withdraw their patrols. Voldar said that Earth would not be completely abandoned. A very watchful eye would be kept on those countries which engage in warfare or physical violence whenever it was possible. Then returning to more mundane matters. He mentioned that he was flying in Calder's latest type spacecraft. This craft I am now piloting is one of the latest models. As I sit here and gaze about me, I see masses of new control panels. These are different in shape and size from the older models. Even the smell within this craft is new. In time, I am sure we will get used to the new layout, which incorporates many improvements. All our old patrol craft have been transferred to the Pyrelian fleet. The 4th Cold Asian Division was then equipped with these new craft, which are considerably improved and have more efficient systems. Now, unfortunately, I have to end this transmission, for we must continue on our journey. I do not say farewell. There are no farewells on Calder's. We say, tomorrow the sun rises to bring a new day, though we must part for the present, we shall meet again. So, for the present we part, but we shall meet again. These were the last words Edwin and the Q group heard from the Confederation for nearly 7 months, one of the longest breaks in transmission. The months dragged on as life continued as usual, and Edwin often cast longing eyes into the wide blue sky when outdoors. He sent his thought messages, trying to keep in contact. He tried to receive by thought, but nothing came through. When would they return? At night, he often lay awake waiting in vain for the familiar call from his radio receiver. Calling Q base. For those who wait, time itself seems to have slowed down. The ships of Calder's, as this narrative from the radio transcripts was being prepared, Edwin was asked to describe the spacecraft he had seen land on the beach at Patterson's Groin, and which later picked Voldar up and took him back to Calder's. Cal Van Vlieden prepared a proportional drawing in schematic layout to also show features seen at later times by Edwin in other contacts. We have extrapolated that to 3-view line drawing to accompany the schematic. This ship was fairly large and carried a crew of 7. It could operate between solar systems. A small ship used for some missions may have been carried here in larger craft and may have been stationed aboard the satellite way station. Then one evening it came. It was 9 o'clock on the 1st of November 1969. They were back. It was Weora, but the news he brought was very disturbing. I have some alarming news I will pass on to you.